So good morning, everyone. Chodesh Tov. Welcome to the OU Israel Center. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Zamira Ozarowski, and I run the women's programming here. I'm just coming off of a cold, so I'm sorry if I sound a little like I have a cold. So I'm so excited to have you guys all here today. Okay, so when I was thinking about Elul and what should we do this year, it's hard to keep coming up with themes, but I was thinking about Elul and the fact that there are so many different acronyms for the letters Aleph, Lamed, Vav, Lamed, right? There's Ani, Ladodi, Vidodi, Li. That's the most common one that everyone knows, you know. But there are so many more. There's, I think, I looked and there was at least 7, 8, 9. There's a lot of them, a lot of them that we don't know. And it's very perplexing because you think about it and you're like, why do we focus so much on the acronym of the word Elul, right? We have many, many months of the year. We don't think about what does Cheshvan stand for, what does Kislev stand for. Only Elul do we have all these studies of what do the letters Aleph, Lamed, Vav, Lamed stand for. Why are we so obsessed with knowing what Elul stands for? And if you think about it also, Elul is not a Hebrew word, right? It's a Babylonian word that we adopted as our the name of our month. So what significance can we really find in those letters? Why would there be any significance to the letters of Elul? So I was thinking about it a lot, and I thought, you know, it would be really cool to hear, first of all, about some of them. We can't go into all of them, but I asked the different teachers to each take one acronym of Elul and to try to focus in on what is the meaning of that acronym and how does that affect our Elul experience. But also I was just thinking about the idea in general, and I listened to a very short video on YU Torah last night by Elie Weinstein, and he said that, you know, he brought down a story, okay? He said, once there was a boy, you've heard this? Oh, okay. Once there was a boy, a young boy, and he asked his father, and he said, how big is Hashem? So his father tried to think of how he can explain how big is Hashem. So he thought to a little boy, what's really big? So he said, Hashem is as big as an airplane. So, you know, the next day the boy's outside, he looks up in the sky, and he sees an airplane far, far away up in the sky, and he sees this tiny little airplane, and he says, okay, so Hashem is kind of small, right? And, you know, the next time, you know, a few months later, he's going on a trip with his family, goes to the airport, he looks out the window, and he sees these huge airplanes right in front of him, and he says, wow, Hashem is, like, really big. He says to his father, I don't understand, like, sometimes the airplane is little, sometimes it's big. Is Hashem little or big? And his father says to him, he says, the closer you are to him, that the bigger he'll be. And here we are in the month of Elul, right? And in Elul is the month where, you know, Hamelech Basadeh, Hashem is out there. He's right there in the field waiting for us. We have the opportunity to become so close to Hashem, and we're searching for that relationship with Hashem. And the way that we bring Hashem into our lives is, you know, the closer that we become to him, the more that we'll see him, right? And so when my brother-in-law, Olav Hashem, who passed away this year from cancer, when he was very sick with cancer, his Rebbe, Rabbi Judah Michel, said to him, wherever you are, whatever you're going through, bring Hashem into your lives. So when you look at the number of the hospital room, find significance in that number. Whatever's happening, find significance in it. And my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, my sister-in-law actually came and spoke here a few years. If you know them, they're the epitome of bringing Hashem into your life. So they would get so excited about every single number of the hospital room. They used to, my brother-in-law would send out these emails every week to all people who were trying to, you know, just be updated on his situation, and he would give a lot of chizuk to people, and he would write about this week, you know, we went to, you know, I had this emergency, and I had to go to the hospital, and I was in room number 38, and we were thinking, what does 38 mean? And my sister-in-law, my brother-in-law would sit there and try to figure out what's the gematria, what's the significance, and in that way, they really brought Hashem into their lives, and they felt so much hashkacha, because they would find so much meaning in every single number. And it's the same idea here also. We could take any word in the world and find significance in it. Why do we do it dafka with Elul? Because in Elul, that's what we're trying to do. We want to bring Hashem into our lives. And so we're trying to figure out, how do we bring Hashem into our lives? Where can I find Hashem? In every single thing that happens in my life, I can find Hashem. And in every single word, in every single detail, I can find Hashem. And so in the word Elul itself, even though it's a Babylonian word, we can find that significance. And so there's so many different, you know, people who looked into it and found, oh, Elul, Ani the Dodi V'Dodi Li. I'm not going to give away the others, but there's many more, right? And in each one of them, there is significance. And for sure, we could do it with every single month. Maybe we should do it with every single month. But the reason why we start with Elul is because Elul is that time of year where we're really, really trying to bring Hashem closer and closer into our lives so that he becomes bigger and bigger and he becomes really real and we see him there. Okay, so what I'm going to do today, I'm giving a little bit more of a mini share than I usually do, and I'm going to talk about one of the acronyms. The one that I'm going to do is Inal Yado V'Samti Lecha. Okay, so the Arizal points to the concept of Ir Miklat. Okay, Ir Miklat is actually found, city of refuge. It's found in this week's Parsha, in Parshat Shoftim. And we talk about this idea of Ir Miklat. We'll talk about a little bit more what is the city of refuge. But the pasuk that the Arizal points to is actually not found in this week's Parsha. It's found in Parsha Mishpatim. It says, V'asher lo tzadav Elokim ina liyado. It's on top of your source sheet over here, your first page. And he didn't plan it. And Hashem ina liyado set for him, v'samti lecha, and I'll make for you makom asher yanus shama, a place where you can run to. It's a very random pasuk, right? You know, Anila Dodi V'Dodi Li, we all understand, is this beautiful concept of a relationship with Hashem. But ina liyado v'samti lecha, I caused it for you and I made for you. What does that mean? What can we learn about Elul from this random pasuk about an Ir Miklat? Somebody inadvertently killed another person and now needs to run away to a city of refuge so that the relatives of the person can't harm him, right? He runs to safety. What does that have to do with Elul? What does that have to do with Tshuva? What does that have to do with us? Right? It seems very random. It seems like somebody, you know, Googled. I'm sure there's some program where you can put in the letters Aleph, Lamed, Vav, Lamed, and it will tell you all the places in Tanakh where you have the letters Aleph, Lamed, Vav, Lamed in order. But who cares? What's the significance? What does that mean for us? So I think we need to, in order to answer that question, we have to understand a little bit more what is the concept of Ir Miklat. Okay, so when you look in this week's Parsha in source number one, the Torah tells us, Ki yachrid Hashem elokecha et hagoyim, asher Hashem elokecha notin lecha et artzam. When Hashem destroys all of the enemies in your land, in Eretz Yisrael, and you inherit it, and you settle in the land, what should you do? The first thing you should do after you conquer the land of Israel, what should you do? Stop right here. If I would ask you, you just settled a new land. You're an urban planner. You want to plan a new village, a new town, a new city. What's the first thing you're going to do? Build a mikvah. Very nice. I'm not sure every urban planner would think of that, but yes. What else would you want to do? Right, there's a lot of infrastructure you need to plan, right? Education, schooling, there's a lot of things you need to figure out. What's one of the things you're not going to think about? Your miklat, right? But the Torah tells us the first thing you need to do, you built this, you know, you conquered this land, the first thing you need to do, shalosh arim tavdil lecha, you're going to separate three cities in your land, tachin lecha aderech, you're going to make a pathway leading to these cities so that when somebody accidentally kills somebody else, they have somewhere to run to. In the end, it's six cities. There's three on the one side of the Yarden and three on the other side of the Yarden, and then another 42 because all the cities of the Levi'im are also Ari Miklat. Okay, so the first thing what you do when you come into the land is you need to make sure you have these safe cities. Okay, it seems very strange. But obviously the Torah seems to consider that the Ir Miklat is a very fundamental concept that needs to be set up right from the start. In Pasuk Gimel, right, it says, Tachin lecha aderech, you have to prepare a way. Not only do they make the cities, but the entire infrastructure was set up that everybody would be able to get to those cities very easily. Right, the source number three, the Gemara Bava Batra says, Derech harabim sheshes reyamot, a normal... Okay, as they're planning it, you know, learn in your urban planning number 101, when you make a regular road, how wide does it have to be? It has to be 16 amot wide. Derech are miklat, 32 amot. But if, as it's getting closer to the Ir Miklat, we have to make sure that those roads leading to the Ari Miklat are 32 amot wide. They have to be double as wide so that it's very accessible. People can get there as fast as they can. Whenever they need to, they can get there. They know exactly where it is. The Gemara also says, that they You can't make any valleys or rivers on the way. The bridges have to be made in order that they can get there. Like, it has to be very, very easy to get to these Ari Miklat. Not only that, in source number 4, Rashi says, right, Miklat haya katuva parshat drachim. You see in this little picture over here, right? There would be signs pointing all over the country to tell you where is the nearest Ir Miklat. Okay, reminds me a lot of what do we see today. It sounds very similar. There's signs pointing to all of the Miklatim, right? To all of the bomb shelters, right? I remember the first time I was in Israel with my family when I was a kid, and we were very hungry. We were looking for a makolet, right? And then I looked up and I see a sign. It says Miklat, but I read it wrong. And I said, oh, wow, it's so nice. They have signs pointing to where the nearest makolet is. But it was actually a sign to the Miklat, right? But we understand that, you know, if you're in a country where there's a real need for a bomb shelter, that you're going to have signs pointing to where the bomb shelters are because people need to know that. And here, there seemed to have been this real need. It was very important that everyone would know where is the Ir Miklat so that if you're in that situation, you can run there very easily. It's very accessible. You know where it is. You can get there. This is the first thing, the most fundamental thing that needs to be set up in the country. Why is this, right? It seems very, very, very strange. Okay, so we understand that you need to take care of the citizens. That's something, a very important thing you need to figure out when you're setting up your country. But why specifically this demographic, the people who by accident killed somebody else? Why are we so concerned with them? So if you think about it, right, there's the really bad people, right? There's the Rishaim, who we kind of are like, they're already it's too late, right? They're already too far gone. They're already, you know, they're the intentional murderers. They're sentenced to death. They're already way far too gone. And then you have the tzaddikim, you have these, you know, good righteous people, and they're already on a good path. But then you have these beinonim, the people in the middle. They're not tzaddikim, they're not rishaim. They made a mistake, they did the wrong thing, they didn't mean to, they killed somebody. Are they held accountable? Why do you say yes? Right. They're not bad people, but they did something, they weren't as careful as they should have been. Good. Okay. Yeah. So obviously, we are definitely leading towards a mashal and what we're going to take from it. And it's very interesting because I've given this shiur many times, usually on Rosh Chodesh Elul, or somewhere around there, and it's always this week's parsha. Even though the actual pasuk of Ina Liyado is actually not this week's parsha, but Ir Miklat is always, as every time that I've checked, it's always been the parsha of Rosh Chodesh Elul. So, yes, but. Right, but we do feel like, yes, there people are held accountable, even if it was a mistake, but they were negligent, right? Somebody who's driving, you know, and they, you know, sometimes it's not their fault at all, but if they were speeding, or if they were not paying attention, or if they were on their phone, right, and they get into an accident, they're not bad people. They weren't trying to hurt somebody. They didn't want to kill someone, but yes, they're held somewhat accountable for it. You know, whether legally, whatever the repercussions are, it doesn't really matter, but the way that we view them is, yes, they did do something wrong, right? And the Gemara says, source number 5, Ibaile Liyune. He should have been paying more attention. Okay, the case that's given in the Torah is right. He goes out to somebody who's chopping wood. He's out there in the forest. He's chopping the tree. He wasn't paying attention. Somebody walks by and he chops the person, or the tree falls down on him. Right? I forgot which one it was. The axe falls down and the axe kills the person. Right? He didn't mean to do it. Right? But was he paying attention? No, you're dealing with a very, very dangerous tool. You have to be careful. You have to notice if somebody's walking by next to you, right? So Rav Eliyashiv says, right, accidents are often the result of not paying enough attention. And they occur because of a lack of focus and dedicated attentiveness. And this lack of focus and attention is indicative of a larger problem, and it's a problem that we're all very familiar with, right? Of this inability to really focus on what's important and on getting distracted from life's goals, right? We're so busy with so many other things that we're not paying attention to the most important thing. You're driving right now, there's nothing else that should be on your mind. You can only be focusing on driving, right? But yet, we all know that we're focused on many other things while we're driving. But it's we're doing something really important. There are people out there, right? And yet somehow our minds wander. Well, yeah, definitely. And also it reminds me, though, I also do want to definitely say that this entire day and all the Rosh Chodesh seminars are also dedicated in loving memory of Mrs. Linda Prua Brachfeld, Marat Chaya, Sasha Bat Rav Yosef Hillel. But yes. Sixty-seven, but I don't know the significance. you can think about that. Right? 67, yeah.